For our message today, we have a story for Holy Week. It's unnerving, Simon thinks, to see so many guards around. The city of Jerusalem is preparing for Passover. People are coming in from all around to be at the temple in the holy city for this most holy time of year. They come to remember, to reenact their ancestors' exodus from slavery in Egypt centuries ago. Sometimes this memory of freedom gets into men's heads, and they feel more keenly the oppressive yoke of Roman rule. Sometimes there are uprisings and unrest. So there are more Roman guards in Jerusalem at this time of year, and it makes Simon nervous. As he nears the gate, ready to return to his home in Bethany, Simon hears people yelling and singing. Hosanna, they cry. Hosanna, save us now. Some are singing in the words of the royal song. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Simon turns toward the sound, and he sees a crowd gathered. They are waving branches. Some have thrown branches and cloaks on the road. Jesus, they cry, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus, save us. Simon has heard of this Jesus, this Galilean miracle worker who talks about the kingdom of God as if it were a real place. He has gathered followers and preached to crowds of people. The crowds love him. Simon is curious, so he waits until he can get a good look at the man riding by. He looks ordinary enough, dressed just like every other man from the villages. He looks around, smiles at people as he passes. Hosanna, the people cry. Hosanna, save us now. Simon glances at the guards as Jesus goes by. They act as disinterested as ever. But Simon can tell they are watching the crowds closely. Simon heads for home. The walk, usually less than an hour, takes longer with all the crowds of people. By the time he gets home, he's ready for his dinner. Later, he hears a commotion on the road. It turns out Jesus is staying in Bethany as well, at the home of Martha and Mary. Years ago, Simon would have gone over to meet Jesus. He had known Martha and Mary well. But that was before the skin disease that had disfigured his face. His skin had healed, but the scars were still there. He was no longer unclean officially, no longer outcast. But people weren't comfortable with him around. Mostly, he just stayed to himself in the house that had been his parents'. In the days following that strange, bold procession, Simon finds himself drawn into the city to listen to Jesus. Jesus spends his days at the temple. The first day, he had caused an awful scene, overturning tables and yelling at the money changers. Gossip had raced back to Bethany, and Simon had not been the only one who found a reason to visit the temple later that day. Each day, Jesus talks and argues with the scribes and Pharisees. They discuss the law, and the religious leaders question Jesus. Sometimes it seems they are trying to trap him, but usually they're the ones who end up flustered and angry. Jesus is serious and well-spoken when he is debating with the scribes. But with his friends, when they gather in a courtyard for lunch or to rest in the afternoon, Jesus is relaxed and kind and laughs easily. One day, Jesus is having lunch, surrounded by some of his disciples and some from Bethany and Jerusalem who have started to follow him around. Simon lingers nearby, trying to listen as Jesus explains the story he'd told that morning. Suddenly, Jesus looks right at him. He smiles, a real smile, one that reaches his eyes. The sort of smile Simon hasn't seen directed at him in years. Come, sit, Jesus says, pointing to an open spot near him. Have some bread. And as simply as that, Simon becomes one of them, these followers of Jesus. Which is how he now finds himself with Jesus and a few of his closest disciples eating dinner in his home. Simon doesn't remember inviting them exactly. They were talking on their walk back to Bethany, and suddenly they were making plans to eat at Simon's home. What an honor it is to host Jesus at his table. And now there's a woman at his door, a stranger. Someone he has noticed listening at the temple some days with her rich woman's attendants around her. This woman comes up to Jesus and bows before him, saying, "My Lord," before opening a jar of the sweetest smelling oil Simon has ever known. She pours it on Jesus' head, and as she does, Simon thinks of the old stories. The stories of the prophet Samuel, who had anointed first Saul and then David in just this way. Of David riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, the people welcoming him home. A king, the king, this man at his table is the king the prophets have promised. Jesus has heard whispers. Simon has heard whispers, of course, more than whispers, really. He knows that people are waiting for Jesus to give some sign, to make some move against the Roman occupiers. Simon sits thinking, considering, as the woman wipes Jesus' face and works the oil into his hair, and people at the table are beginning to mutter about the interruption and the waste of such expensive ointment. Then Jesus speaks, "This woman has done a good deed today. For she has anointed me ahead of time for my burial." He looks at her with such gentleness and sadness. And Simon remembers the other whispers about this man. They are barely hinted at, but he has heard that Jesus has said he will die here in Jerusalem. Simon thinks of those soldiers watching him ride into Jerusalem with a hero's welcome. Simon thinks of the anger in the eyes of the Pharisees when Jesus said that the command to love is more important than burnt offerings and sacrifice. Simon thinks of the way Jesus talked about the scribes in their rich robes who ignore the words of the prophets about caring for widows and orphans. He said they take advantage of the poor for their own gain. He didn't seem to care who heard him say it. Really, Jesus doesn't act much like a king, more like a prophet wandering around the countryside talking about God all the time, teaching people how to truly follow God and live in God's ways. He sits there, drinking Simon's best wine, offering a seat at Simon's table to the new guest. He seems at ease despite the dark words he just spoke. But looking at him there, Simon can't help wondering what the Passover tomorrow will bring.